Again, let me address our Father in heaven and give thanks unto him for his blessing us to be able to assemble here. I know that Paul said something about in the book of Acts, us living and moving and have our being. I know it's his goodness that we can do that. I want to say that we appreciate Brother Warnock more than he will ever know for the things that he have done for us in the past and doing now. And I get to thinking about sometime little old me being able to come and have an association with great gospel preachers like Brother Warnock and Brother Gene Frost and others that we could name. And sometime I just have to pinch myself to see is it really me. But I'm grateful that God have blessed me to have this opportunity. We appreciate the presence of every one of you, and I want you to know that the thing that we have to offer tonight will be for the hope of the good of our souls. I don't have anything to offer because I'm prejudiced of anything. I want you to know that what I say, if the Bible teach it, then it's nothing I can do about it. But if I should get off on the fleshly side and say something that just comes from Lord Nash, then it's Sears and Roebuck. I'll take it back. It's just like that. But if the word of God say it, then it have said it. I want to thank Brother, is it Pickett? Ricks, all right. Brother Ricks and his fine wife and family for having us over today. And we enjoyed our meal over there. I told her I could remember where Mother's Day, where I had meals last year. I can remember a year where Mother's Day, I had my dinner for Mother's Day. But anyway, those who do not share with us in our religious conviction, we want you to study with us and study hard. Because, you know, when we look around and see today what the world is doing and what is happening to us in the world, we look back a couple of weeks ago and we had this awful disaster to happen over in Russia. Nuclear powers exploded and let out its power and poison into the atmosphere. And that could well be here, and it's not over yet. And we think about all of these other evils that surround us. And sometimes I think it impairs our mind so much until we don't think about what we ought to think about, that one day the Lord is going to come and move all of these things out of the way. And we need to be on his side when he comes. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible teaches us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And that's what we need to strive for. To have a life, a new one with our Lord on his turn. And when we do that, I think, ladies and gentlemen, that when it's all over, when this walk of life is all over for all men and all that breathe, that we'll go home to live in a better place than this. And that's the important thing. Certainly the Lord has provided such a way for us in Jesus Christ our Lord. When Christ was about to leave this world and knowing so, called that little flock that he had of 12 around him and began to talk to them and said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye that believeth in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. They begin to query him, that is, Thomas did, and want to know, how could they know the way? And Jesus came back with a simple answer and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. And I think we need to emphasize and underline the thought of no man can come to the Father but by me. Sometimes I think people feel like that my pastor can get me past, I feel like they think the choir that I sing in can get me past. And I think they feel that there's other means that can give them interest into heaven or face with God. But Christ said, no man can come to the Father but by me. And that means little man, big man, medium-sized man, oblong man, whatever kind of man he is, can't come to the Father but by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we're going to our subject for the evening now. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, if you please, this being a recording of the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ. Being known that the word Pentecost just simply means 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. And Christ was preparing his disciples, and just before he left them, he went back to heaven. He told them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they were endowed with power from on high. And that they were willing to do and done. And when the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1, the Bible says, was fully come, they were all in one place, one accord. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there set up on each of them cloven tongues like of the fire, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And you know the good part about it, the Bible says that every man heard them in their own language, wherein they were born. Let me stop here while I'm getting down to my subject. Every man heard them in their own language. This let us know that when the Bible speaks of speaking in tongue, speaking with tongues, speaking new tongue, he's not talking about hemisaka jaka jaka. He's not doing that. He's talking about talking where other people know what you're talking about. Isn't that right? Oh, I've met some that, and I've talked to them and asked them, what did you say? They said, they don't know what they say. But if you don't know what they said, then you ought to be quiet. But you know, Brother Warnock, I came up with one year, knew out of all these years I've been dealing with those people. They claim that they can and speak with tongue and interpret the tongue and do all that. Just one new one I came up with. And you know what I asked them? What did these little old 5 and 6 month old babies say? When they said, lay on the bed, you know, you're playing, well, cool, cool. I said, what, tell them what they said. If you can interpret it, now, baby's speaking in tongue, and we can tell, you know, mother say, well, sometimes he's crying, you say, want the bottle, whatever, but sometimes it's just so happy, you see him, just, you see him in that right. Well, you never heard one interpret that. If he can handle that, if he know all of that, how come he can't handle some baby language? Well, the thought of it is, he can't handle any of it. Most of us can't speak good English. I can't. I've been out there for a long time. Now, all right, now, so what do we say? Christ said, then, I mean, the apostle here in Acts 2 is telling us that out of about 15 different races, people there, Jewish people were gathered there in the city of Jerusalem, about 15 of them, if I remember certain words. All right, now, and they heard them speaking in their own language, where they were born. And you know what happened, I think about verse 13. Somebody said, what meanest this? You see, God had a way to draw and get their attention. I want you to know, when it say that the wind came and it filled all the house where they were sitting, it was the wind that filled all the house. And that's the reason why didn't anybody get what God sent but the 12. You know, some of our Pentecostal friend, that Holy Spirit came and filled all the house. No, the sound that came, that's what filled up the house. But the Holy Spirit didn't fall on anybody but the 12. And when they saw these people speaking in all of these different languages, they said, what meanest this? And so that's what we want to talk to you about, just using this little term, what? They want to know what's going on here in Jerusalem. My friend, it hadn't been but about 53 days, a little better, when they were carrying your Lord and mine out there on carry. Hung him out there, ladies and gentlemen, but between two thieves. The Bible tells us that he hung there from about the sixth hour until the ninth hour. And therefore, my friend, while he was hanging out there, it was some action going on there in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us in the 19th chapter of the book of John that they had two thieves out there with your heart in mind. Therefore, my friend, we can kind of understand it by saying it was three crosses out there. And did you not know Christ was hanging on one of those crosses? They had two thieves, one on the left and the other on the right. And the word of the Lord tells us that they break one of the thieves' legs, and they went around and break the other thieves' legs. But when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. And a soldier took a spear and pierced his side, and forthwith that came out blood and water. Isn't that right? What are you driving at now, Nash? I'm trying to drive at something that just happened a few days that got these people's attention. Hadn't that been right? You know, when your Lord was hanging on the cross, the Bible say that the Son failed to give his life. That is the old S-U-N. Sun up there that we see rise up in the morning every day when it's not cloudy. We can see it, and it's been coming for hundreds of years. Isn't that right? You know one thing? Why? Because the S-O-N sun was in trouble. And while the S-O-N was making his debut here, making a tournament for mankind, this old S-U-N, my friend, that is literal, that give us life for day, it had to quiet down. And that thing went on for about 3 hours. And it was darkness over all the earth. And the dead that were down in the grave. The Bible says that many of them got up after the resurrection of Christ and went into the city. Isn't that right? They knew all of that had gone on. And yet here on the day of Pentecost, when God sent the Spirit upon the apostles that they might write and legislate to you and me, they said, what means this? He had their attention. Isn't that right? We got to get people's attention before you can do anything with them. I know most of these preachers in here have told the story about the old farmer having to get the mule's attention. Well, you have to get people's attention before you can teach them anything. I really believe that, and so the Lord done that. In that same chapter, the Apostle Peter began to preach, and he preached. He told them that they had, week by week hand, they had crucified and slain the Lord of glory. And you know what thing? He preached that thing so severe. We'll be talking about it somewhere before we could go. Until these men became pricked in the heart. Look at verse 36 for me, if you will. Brother Warnock, let's see what it says here.
Verse 36.
Therefore,
let all the house of Israel.
Therefore, let all of the house of Israel
know assuredly
that God hath made
that same Jesus.
All right, go ahead.
Whom you have crucified. Both Lord and Christ.
Go ahead.
When they heard this,
They were pricked in their hearts.
And said, men. Men and brethren.
What shall we do? This is what I want you to get. This is what I want you to get. That they in trouble now. They realize that they are murderers. They realize that they've killed the Son of God. They realize that they killed our Savior. They said, men and brethren, what
shall we do?
I want you to get this now. What shall we do? Well, now, you know, a lot of times people say you pray, God's grace will save you. Sometimes you hear them say, come on up here, let me put my hands on you, praise the Lord. God's grace. But we're going to look and see what's behind this dude tonight, though. But that's what I think I have your attention enough for you to see what he is talking about. What shall we do? These people here realized that they were in trouble, the whole number that had to do with it. And they want to know, what shall we do? Now watch what Peter said. What did he say?
Then Peter said unto them,
Repent.
And be baptized.
Every one of you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
For the remission of what?
Sin.
You sin. You sin when you kill a lot of girls. And if you want to get rid of your sin, you are going to have to therefore repent and be baptized for the remission of your sin. That's what you're going to have to do. Now, I'll tell you, my friend, you can holler grace all you want to. You can holler faith all you want to. But you can have all of this and fail to be baptized into Jesus Christ. You are still going to be lost. You've got to ask, what mean is this? It means that when one come to Christ, he's going to have to be baptized for the remission of his sin.
Amen.
If somebody wanted to put you in the dry cleaning business, they want to say, oh, well, know you have it in your heart. You don't need nobody to pat. Now, you know, what makes people think that this heart here is what controls religion is because when they get frightened, brother, this thing here speed up. Isn't that right? But that happened, don't make no difference what they're going to speed up. You know, I was up in the plane coming up here Saturday morning. We left Fort Lauderdale, and the weather was kind of rough. The plane made one or two of those little dips in this thing here. Speed it up. But if this thing up here hadn't told it this time, something going wrong, it wouldn't speed up. I'm going to make you see what I'm talking about. You can be walking around in your yard or out in the woods, if you ever go out there, traveling, and if a rattlesnake is down there, and you don't see him, that heart don't speed up. That head don't speed up. You know when it speeds up? And when you look down there and see him, and I say, tell Pete to move, and then you say, oh, well, that's where a lot of people play religion. They think it's up here. But Paul said in Romans 10, he said, brethren, my heart desire and prayer of God for Israel is that they might be saved. The heart that desire is the one above the collar and not the one in the bosom. So the preacher got you on the wrong heart in the first place. So Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise unto you and to your children, to all that's afar off, to as many as the Lord your God shall call, and with many other words, truly did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received the word were baptized, and there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. But what happened? What happened? What means this? It means that the church had been established. It means that God had called that religious fire box up there. You know, he said there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews devout men. These were religious people in that right, but they were wrong. You know, sometimes people think because they're religious, that's sufficient. But we'll see more and more about that as we go on through this lesson. Now, you watch this now. So he said, what? What? They said, what means this? Well, it simply meant that the fulfillment of the scriptures were being unfolded. You remember old Peter when he was preaching in the early part of that lesson, said this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that it should come to pass in the last days that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, upon your sons and daughters. I'll pour out my spirit in these days and they shall prophesy. He's going on to unfold this thing and he's pointing out what it is. But what was the trouble here? These people here had killed the law. They had walked contrary to God. They bowed for, ladies and gentlemen, I killed a man that made it possible by his blood for you and me to have redemption for our sins. And so then we'll move up a little bit farther now. And we're talking about what? Over there in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, we want to acquaint you with something else over there. And you know Paul, when he was called Saul, this man was a persecutor of the church. One day, according to Acts 9, when he was on that old Damascus road, going on down there to gather some saints together, and according to his own word, according to Acts 26:89, that he's taken them into prison. Isn't that right? You know, one day when he was about down there, the Bible said light shined around him, and he fell to the earth and said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecute. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. Look at the next word. I think it's in verse 4. He said, what will? Isn't Isn't that right? What will thou have me to do? This man here realized that something was wrong in what he was doing. Isn't that right? I know he was a religious man. I know that he thought he was right, because in chapter 23, and I think the verse 1, that he stood before the Lord, he said that he had lived in good conscience all of his life. Isn't that right? Paul was a religious man, or Saul was. He was a religious man before he became to be known as Paul. And, but you know what they? He was wrong about what he was doing. And you know what he said? When he realized that he couldn't no longer do these things, he said, "What will thou have me to do?" And you know, it was told him what he must do. And yet, he went and did like most people do. It was told him to go down in the city and get on the street that was called Street. And it would be told him words, what he must do. But you know what he did? He went down there and started to pray. Isn't that right? That's just exactly what most people do today. As sinners, they think that they, as a sinner, can make connection with God. And they think when they make connection with God as a sinner, they believe that that will release them of their sin and they can get into heaven. But this man prayed, ladies and gentlemen, for 3 days, and he was still blind. He was still without sight until Ananias went down there and told him what to do. In verse 18, the Bible saying that he told him, laid his hand up on him and told him to rise. And he arose, and forthwith he was baptized. In Acts 22:16, the Bible tells us when Paul rehearsed the thing, that Ananias came to him and said, "Brother Saul, why tarry thou? Rise and be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on the name of the Lord." Hey, well, you know, somebody would have had your sins already gone. Isn't that right? You know, some of you preachers already have your sins gone. You don't have to go be baptized if you don't want to. You see, I'm trying to get your attention now. This man here, Saul, when he realized that he was in danger, that something had gotten a hold of him stronger than all of the other authorities, he wanted to know, what will thou have me, I think that's a me there, to do? Because he was involved by himself, isn't that right? You know, I was talking to Jehovah's Witnesses here a few weeks ago, and we got to dealing with a few words being capitalized, uncapitalized, and I told him this word wasn't capitalized, that it wasn't properly, it wasn't a proper name and thing like that, and we talked about a few nouns and pronouns, and they said, "Oh, you just educated." Yeah, I've been accused of a lot of things. I've never been accused of being educated. Because you get one or two little E's and it right, don't mean that you're educated. But anyway, getting on with this thing. Paul then, he relied. He said, "Now, Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And he never stopped, never was saved, until he done what he was told to do. If that had been somebody, said, "Well, you feel all right now. Your mother, you know, she's your mother's a good woman. And all your grandmother, I knew her. And all, and get you in trouble." We got to recognize what God would have man to do must be done. This man here saw him, the need of him doing something. Isn't that right? And when he done that thing, he became one of the greatest men of all time. Paul wrote more than the rest of them. He declared himself that he worked more abundantly than the all. Despite him being as one that was born out of due season, he still said, "I thank God that I am what I am." And so he became to be a member of the Lord's church. And I want you to know that the Apostle Peter and the other apostles and all the early Christians, all of them was in the same church. All of them had the same faith. It wasn't you have your faith and I have my faith. They all had the same faith. Because this man here, after he became to be Paul, this man, he declared, "Therefore, that is one Lord, and it was one faith, and it was one baptism." And I know all of them then had the same thing. So I want you to think about it then. What how we're dealing with you tonight. We are trying to deal with getting your attention. We're trying to make you understand that Christ came here and he has provided one way for all men. We're trying to make you understand that the church was established on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ in the city of Jerusalem. And there have not been another one established by the Lord since then, and that never will be. You say, how did you get all these others out here? Man started them. But they didn't start with the Lord. The Lord don't have nothing to do with them. And I want you to understand that. Over in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, there was a man over there who was called Cornelius. And this man, he was a good man. Sometimes people think about it. I know that my goodness is sufficient to get me in there. I don't lie. I don't steal. I help my neighbors when they're sick. I do all of these things for them. And I just don't believe I was lost. But in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, we find that a man whose name was Cornelius. And this man was said to be a devout man. And one that feared God with all of his heart. Now you know that's too many of us can say that even if we're Christian. That we would fear God with all of our heart. And he gave much alms unto the people. You know, I'm talking to y'all about the pocketbook business this morning, so I'm not going to bother you about it now. But this man here, he gave much alms to the people. Isn't that right? And evidently, about the third hour of the day, he heard an angel appear before. And you know what he said? Lord, what is it, Lord? What is it, Lord? Cornelius knew that something was going on. God had got his attention. Isn't that right? What is it, Lord? Down there in this verse 4. In verse 6, I believe it tells us that the angel told him to go and get Simon. And he would tell him words whereof he must do, or what he must do. Let's read that verse. It ought to be a what in there. I don't want to miss but what they say. What they say? Verse 6 and verse 5.
Start with verse 5. And now send men to Joppa.
Uh-huh.
And call for one Simon.
Uh-huh.
Whose surname is Peter.
Whose surname is Peter.
He lodges. With one Simon.
One Simon. All right, go ahead.
Whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee.
He shall tell thee.
What thou oughtest to do.
What thou oughtest to do. With that verse 6.
Verse 6.
All right, 5 and 6. He will tell thee words. What thou oughtest do. Who's going to do that? Simon Peter, the same one that told him on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ in Acts 2 what they ought to do, is the same one that Christ said would tell them what they ought to do over here in Acts 10. And he told them what they ought to do. Oh, well, he went on down there. It's long. You can read this. It's a beautiful thing. Peter was first arguing. He had a little high-minded, would say that. He didn't want to deal with Gentile people. And so he said, he told Lord, not so, Lord. But nothing coming unclean. I'm coming to my mouth. He said, what I'm clean, don't you call it coming. So finally the men came and got him. They went on down to Cornelius' house. In verse 33, Cornelius said that we are all gathered here to hear the word today of what we ought to do. And Peter said, I perceive that God is no respected person, but he that fear God and work righteousness is accepted with him. And Peter went on to expound on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And when it did, and verse 47, the Bible says, who can forbid what? That these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. All right now. So what happened here? The what is that when Peter preached to them, that these here at the 10th chapter book at the household of Cornelius had to do the same identical thing that they had to do on the day of Pentecost. They had to be baptized for the remission of our sins, to enter into Christ. And one always is going to have to do that. There is no getting into Christ without being baptized for the remission of your sins. There is no getting into sin until you're baptized into Christ. And I want you to understand what about that. It's what about that is, if you don't ever be baptized for the remission of your sins, you'll be lost. That's what. We're going to another case. In the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, here, the Bible said that he went down through Corinth, passed through the upper court, and came to Ephesus. And he found certain disciples, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Paul said, under what then? Why are you baptized? Uh-oh, he knows something wrong here. They tell him now that they had been baptized. Paul said, under what were you baptized? They said, under John's baptism. Well, that's where a lot of people become satisfied today. They say, under John. So, John the Baptist. Oh, John the Baptist, he's my man. All right, watch this now. He said, under John the Baptist. John was a good preacher, no question about that. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 11:11, among those that prophets that were born of women, he said, there was not a greater prophet born than that of John the Baptist. But I want you to know that John forerun for Christ, and I want you to know that he done all that he was supposed to do, but he told them all the time that I'm not the Christ. I'm one just opening up the road when the Christ comes so you can accept it and have a lot of luck at it, success. But I tell you, that's what he was. And so they said under John baptism, when they said that, Paul knew something wrong. You know, a lot of people tell me, well, I've already been baptized, Brother Lane. And the Bible say one baptism. Well, it's different in one baptism and once baptized. You see, they deal with the word once instead of one. I know it in the Lord. That God accepts, that Christ accepts, but I don't care how many times we go in and out the water. It doesn't mean a thing unless we go in there by the proper authority. You see, the Egyptians went into the Red Sea just like the Israelites. The Israelites went through there by God's authority. They're being authorized by God. The Egyptian tried to go through there by Pharaoh's authority. You know what happened? They didn't make it. Isn't that right? They didn't make it. You see, when you're baptized, you have to be baptized with the authority of Christ. And if Christ is not, if it's not authorized by the scripture, then your baptism doesn't mean anything. So Paul said, under what then were you baptized? They said, under John baptism. Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying that you should believe on him, that you should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Verse 5 of Acts 19, 5. And when they heard this, they were baptized. In the name of the Lord Jesus. When they heard this. Oh, that's been somebody. David said, my pastor said I'm already all right because I was sprinkled over at St. John Methodist a long time ago when I was a baby. I know I'm all right. I come out of Mount Zion and I know I'm all right. Now, but you see these people here, they had an educated man of hope to them. We going up there, Brother Barnhart, 1824. I'll be there in a little bit. Acts 18:24. I want you. They had a man teaching them that were learned. And a lot of times, that's why we get carried away today. Say, well, you know, he has his doctors. He has his PhD. And when they go to get those ABC, I don't care. You can tell them what Jesus said or what. It don't make no difference. You know, I tell them sometimes when I'm teaching Bible class that we have prejudice at the Church of Christ among the learned and the unlearned. How many times, brethren, have I talked to brethren about something that some of the learned, you know, say? Some of the ABC men say. You tell them, and you know what they say? Oh, Brother Nash, you must have misunderstood me. He don't say it. Now, if it's me, I make a mistake. And well, he ought to know better than that. He don't know nothing anyway. But if one of them way up there one day, when they say something, he won't, now he may tell another one educated one day, hey, you know so-and-so get in trouble. But he won't tell me that because he thinks he's too much for me, you know. You gotta cut that out. All right. In Acts chapter 18:24. Now watch this, watch what we have.
And a certain Jew.
Named Apollos.
Born in Alexandria. An eloquent man.
I want you to hear this. That this man was an eloquent man. Well, now you say, what does that mean? I don't exactly know what it means, but I know it's something that I'm not. He was eloquent. Isn't that right? All right, now just think about eloquence. And isn't that what we like to sit back and look at? We used to be sitting on the TV sometime, and certain fellas come on there, and we get all carried away. So, oh, isn't he eloquent? You're not thinking about what he said, what he said is the truth or not. You think about how much education he's been able to get. You know, I'm not knocking education now, because at one point, education, we couldn't have these lights, we couldn't have these things. I'm not out there, but I'm trying to keep everything in the proper perspective. That's what I'm trying to do. I want you to keep this little point in your mind. All right? And now, what about this man again now? What did he say about it?
And mighty in the scripture.
Not only that, not only was he eloquent, but the Bible say that he was mighty in the scripture. And somebody said, well, my pastor knows some scripture. I believe that, because the devil knew some scripture. I believe your pastor knows some scripture. I don't like that. Watch what he says here.
This man was instructed. In the way of the Lord.
Somebody give him a bad job, but he'd been instructed. Is that right? He took the wrong way one. Go ahead.
And being fervent in the spirit.
I want you to note this little word, fervent. You know, fervent is something that means heated. You know the reason why that they can make this thing here have different shapes is because they melted it down and put it in a fervent heat and stop. This is the reason why you make it do this and all this. Isn't that right? That, you see, he wasn't one of these educators that you couldn't touch. He was fervent in the spirit. All right, go ahead.
He spake, taught diligently. The things of the Lord.
Knowing only.
The baptism of John.
You see, what he knew wasn't enough. Out of all of his eloquence and out of all of his nerve, he didn't know nothing but the baptism of John. And that baptism of John was no more valid. And what he was preaching was outdated. And he had these folks in trouble. Isn't that right? The very one we just got to talk about down there in chapter 19. And let's see what happened now. I will show you how good Apollos was. Go ahead.
And he began to speak boldly
in the synagogue.
Whom Aquila and Priscilla heard him.
Go ahead.
Had heard.
They took him aside. Go ahead.
And expounded unto him.
The way of God.
Way of
the Lord.
More perfect.
You see, this man here was rich, but he was a fervent man. They heard him preaching that he was bold. He was cutting up. He was cutting up by John the Baptist. I don't know what all was in the sermon, but they knew it wasn't right. For Priscilla and Aquila, they were just bench members in the Church of Christ. But they heard it, and they got him out there. They got him out there, and they talked to him. And said, now, Apollos, you John the Baptist, that's over. This, the Word of God going to show here that this man here thought being following the Baptist doctrine would have been all right. If it ever was, a Baptist church started right here when it got cut off before it got to rolling good. But this man here was a humble man. And this is the reason why he could do that. Isn't that right? How many of us, I'm talking about us, brethren. You know, sometimes members of the church don't hardly say very much sometimes. And sometimes when we're talking and preaching, Brother Warner, and some of them call us up or call us outside, we need to listen to what he said, because he doesn't listen to our mistake we've made more times than we think he has. so we all at least give him a chance to prove it. Isn't that right? And what happened now?
And when he was disposed. To pass into Achaia.
The brethren rose. I want you to hear that. You get this here? The brethren wrote. Now, we got some brethren don't take this test and recommend you too. But when they got ready to send this man out, their brethren did what?
Wrote
And done what?
Exhorting the disciples.
And exhorting the disciples. That is the recommended. Isn't that right? Go ahead.
To receive him.
To receive him.
Who, when he was come, helped them much.
Helped them much.
Which had believed.
Through grace. All right, go ahead.
For he mightily continued.
Nobody else I read about in the Bible was able to do this. This man was some kind of preacher. It said that he mightily done what?
Convinced
the Jews.
And that publicly.
Showed
by the scriptures. That Jesus was Christ.
Don't tell the Baptist that Jesus was the Christ. You see, when they took him and talked, he didn't say, well, let me go home and think about it, and I'll see y'all next Monday. No. When this man here, despite his eloquence, when he found out that he was wrong, when they took him aside, he didn't go on teaching that John the Baptist business. He stopped right there. And that's who Paul was dealing with there in Acts 19. And the number of men, it says in Acts 19, about 19:7 or so, it says the number of men was about 12 that he dealt with. Isn't that right? And when you can break 12 men at one time, you're really doing something. Let me show you something, brother. This man, Apollos, he was wrong. He taught wrong doctrine. He was earnest. He was sincere. But he was wrong. This man Cornelius was a religious man, but he had to do what God wanted him to do on Christ's terms before he could think about eternal life being his to enjoy. And I think we ought to recognize those kind of things. And we got one more what to deal with tonight. And this is one that you hear Billy Graham and a lot of these other false prophets dealing with. And it's, I believe it's the 16th chapter. Of the book of Acts. Paul and Silas was in jail. Acts 16:25. The Bible said that they sung and prayed until midnight. The prison heard them. God sent a great earthquake. And all the doors was open and the prison was shut. And the doors came open. And you know, that old jailer wake up out of sleep and he thought that Paul and them would have ran away. And you know, he drew his sword and would have beheaded himself. But Paul said, do thyself no harm. We all here. Isn't that right? Oh, I know the average prisoner would have been gone. And particularly back then, as now, it would run in jail back there, the end of that Roman system back there. But Paul said, we haven't gone any place. Put up the sword. Don't harm yourself. And you know what he said? He came to him with a light and said, sir, what must we do? He got into something. He realized something. That Paul took that man the same hour of the night. Or they took him in the same hour of the night and they washed their stripes and they baptized. But here's the verse we want to deal with in verse 30 tonight. All right, if you will. Watch this now.
And brought them out
and helped him out.
Sir, what must I do?
What must I? Let me put this eye over here. Because we got to. What must we do? What would you have me to do? What must I do?
To be saved.
We got to be saved. So we got some pluralities here, pronouns, and we got some pronoun singular. Now, so what we got here, we got what must we do? Well, who was this what must we do? Those on the day of Pentecost who had been guilty of the crucifixion of Christ, of killing your Lord and mine. And when Peter was able to reach that conscience, they said, Lord, what shall me and brethren another? What shall we do? Oh, here we find out that we have a plurality thing in here, and this man here, brother singular, he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And here the jailer here said, what must I do? Let me tell you something. Some people say, well, you don't have to do anything. But Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that do, what is that, Matthew 7:21? He that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's going to take some doing in order for us to make it to heaven. Now, watch this now. Let's read that verse again. Verse 30. I want you to look at it. Now, look what it said. Okay, go ahead.
And brought them out, saying,
Sir,
what must I do?
What must I do?
To be saved.
To be saved. wanted to be saved. He said, men and brethren, what must I do to be saved? That's a good what? Here's a man that realized that he's a jailer. He realized that he's in a lost condition. He wanted to know what to do about it. Oh, if we could find people tonight with that kind of spirit, would think about their souls and the importance of being a Christian and say, well, what am I going to go have to do? Wouldn't it be nice? What must I do to be saved? Look what he said, read.
And they said, believe on the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
And thou shalt be saved.
And thou shalt be saved.
And thy house.
And thine house. I'm going to do this now. And thine house. He said, thou shalt be saved and thine house. Well, you know, some people say, oh, well, he was saved by grace in there, and he just sprinkled a little water on him in there. And but you don't think about it is, the reason why I know some time were left here, because the jailer, our family, his house was not in jail. All of them didn't keep the jail. The jailer just kept the jail. So some time expired that night, and they were moving around. Isn't that right? Now watch what happened here. Go ahead.
And they spake unto him.
The word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And to all
that were
in his house.
I want you to see this. They speak the word of the Lord unto him. And to all that was in his house. Now you watch what happens next. Go ahead.
And he took them. The same hour of the night.
And what happened?
Washed their stripes.
They had beaten Paul and Silas before they put them in jail. Well, it looked like the first order was that they'd taken them and washed the stripes that was on them. Isn't that right? And then what else did they do?
And was baptized.
Go on.
He and all. Straightway.
Straightway. Let me emphasize again. This word all. He that is the jailer. And all of his straightway, all that he had that was able to understand, were baptized. Isn't that right? Somebody said, well, baptism doesn't have anything to do with it. Well, I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, baptism does have something to do with it. If baptism doesn't have anything to do with it, why did the word of God tell us that he and all of his straightways were baptized? Why did they do it the same hour of the night? Why didn't they say, well, wait till daybreak in the morning? You know, one time Jacob was wrestling with an angel, isn't that right? And he began to talk to the angel, told old Jacob, he said, you know, day is breaking. And he said, I want you to let me go. And Jacob said, I won't let you go unless you bless me. Isn't that right? I know then that daybreak has something to do with it. But they didn't wait till daybreak. They just said, that same hour of the night. I know then that it was important that they would go down there and do that thing. I know, ladies and gentlemen, that they were not members. Became members of some kind of denomination. I know that they were baptized into the same thing that all the other people were baptized into at that time. I know that baptism is that act that puts one into a new relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's go just a little bit farther and see what can we find out here.
And when he had brought them out into his house,
he set meat before them
and rejoiced. Believing in God. With all his house.
All of them. That was eligible for baptism, ladies and gentlemen, had been baptized. He brought them out and he gave them a meal. Isn't that right? Can't you see that the rejoicing came out? The man become be a child of God. I've seen people back, you know, when I used to belong to a denominational church, and a lot of time they coming up there telling all them old